RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Informing, connecting, dignifying.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta, presents actual news and information as well as entertainment.
You can also listen to our broadcast every day on frequencies of 15150 kHz, 9525 kHz, and 11785 kHz. Or listen to audio on demand at en.voi.co.id. Hello listener, welcome back to English Bulletin over RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. In today's edition, we'll present to you our program summary for today. First, we'll bring you our news, followed by commentary, Today in History, and Focus News in Brief. We'll continue our next program with Indonesian Wonder and Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia. We'll conclude our program for today with Music Corner. Stand by now for the news.
Voice of Indonesia with the news.
Here is the news. First, the headlines. The National Aeronautics and Space Administration, NASA, detects 140 fire spots in West Kalimantan. The National Military TNI strengthens cooperation with British military. Indonesian government aims to increase Hajj quota by 42,000. Now the news in detail. NASA's Moderate Resolution Imaging Spectroradiometer, or MODI, satellite on the Terra and Aqua spacecraft on Monday, September 12, 2016, detected 140 hotspots for land and forest fires in West Kalimantan. The National Disaster Management Agency's BNPB Data Information and Public Relations Chief Sutopo Purwonugroho said that fire broke in the Sekadau, Ketapang, Landak, and Sanggau regencies due to land clearing activities. Sutopo said that the Himawari satellite on September 12, 1600 p.m. also detected thin smoke in Sekadau and Ketapang regencies. Firefighters and officers from the military TNI, police, and BNPB continue their effort to put out the fire. BNPB sent out two water bombing helicopters and a TNI Air Force CASA plane to create artificial rain. A total of 3,500 personnel have been deployed to put out the fire. According to him, the MODI satellite has 351 hotspots in Indonesia on September 12. The National Military TNI continues cooperation with British military in various fields. The latest cooperation is realized through bilateral meeting between the General Staff Head of the National Military TNI Vice Admiral Didit Herdiawan with Admiral Sir Philip Jones, KCBADC, First Sea Lord and Chief of Naval Staff, United Kingdom. The bilateral meeting was held on the sidelines of 2016 Annual Chiefs of Defense Conference in the Philippines some time ago. In a press release on Monday, Didit Herdiawan said, Indonesia views England as a country which has supported reformation and democratization process since 1998. Didit said, the bilateral relations in the field of defense and military continues to increase. They are realized through the signing of Memorandum of Understanding by defense ministries of the two countries on November 1, 2012 in London. Significant cooperation was done in the field of education, military training, and defense industry. In addition, visit exchange of Navy ships between the two countries such as Karai Dewaruchi visiting England on the occasion of tall ships races in August 2010, and HMS Richmond visiting Indonesia in May 2011. The Indonesian government has been granted permission by Philippines President Rodrigo Duterte to execute Filipina death row inmate Mary Jane Veloso. Indonesian President Joko Widodo said on Monday that the legal process would be followed up by Attorney General M. Prasetyo. He has explained to President Duterte about Mary Jane's situation and told him the delay in the execution during the meeting. Mary Jane was arrested at Adi Sucipto Airport in Yogyakarta in April 2010 for carrying 2.6 kilograms of heroin. Moreover, Mary Jane is suspected to be a victim of human trafficking in the Philippines. On April 29th, the day of the execution, Indonesian Attorney General H.M. Prasetyo said that Mary Jane's status was still that of a convict, as her execution was not cancelled but merely postponed. If the new case in her home country, the Philippines, could reveal new evidence, she would be able to apply for a judicial review based on the Constitutional Court's ruling, which states that the application for a judicial review could be carried out more than once. Indonesian President Joko Widodo ordered National Police Chief General Tito Karnavian to crack down to those who perform extortion in port. In addition, the head of state also targeted dwelling time is in the range of two-day figures. President Joko Widodo on Tuesday inaugurated the operation of Kalibaru Container Terminal in Tanjung Priok Main Port, North Jakarta. In his speech, President said dwelling time in all port is targeted in the range of two-day figures. It is said dwelling time is not only applied in Tanjung Priok but also to all ports. With presence of Kalibaru's container terminal, the capacity of the container terminal at Tanjung Priok increased to 1.5 million 20-foot equivalent unit, or TEUs, per year. The operation of the terminal is commercially supported by the operational readiness of the container terminal, both in terms of infrastructure and superstructure. This news comes to you from RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. A total of 1,800 Indonesian citizens in Malaysia took part in Idul Adha or Islamic Sacrifice Day Prayer 1437 Hijriah in the Indonesian Embassy in Kuala Lumpur at 8 a.m. on Monday, September 12. After Idul Adha prayer, the Indonesian ambassador to Malaysia, Herman Prayitno, told RRI that Indonesian migrant workers in Malaysia should show their identity and pride as Indonesian citizens and seize Idul Adha to build solidarity and concern among migrant workers, particularly by sacrificing animals.
Marilah kita kembali introspeksi untuk meningkatkan.
Let's have introspection to increase our faith so that we are always in the right path, so that we do not always think about ourselves but sharing with others. For example, we give coal or goat because some of what we have should be given to others. In addition, he explained that the embassy, in cooperation with Indonesia Kuala Lumpur School, SIK, will do the slaughtering of 11 cows on Tuesday, September 13, in the school backyard at 8 a.m. They will distribute the meat to the migrant workers and the unfortunate students of SIK. In the Idul Adha prayer, the Indonesian lecturer at Malaysian Technology University, Professor Dr. Mitaburahim, served as the prayer leader and preacher. The Indonesian government is aiming to increase its Hajj quota by 42,000 next year. The construction of Masjid Al-Haram has reduced each country's Hajj quota by 20% in past few years. For instance, Indonesia's Hajj quota has been lowered from 211,000 to 168,000 pilgrims. Reduced quota has prolonged the waiting time for Indonesian pilgrims, which could stand at 20 to 30 years in several regions. The Religious Affairs Ministry's Information Center and Public Relations Bureau head Syafrizal Sofyan said Monday, September 12, the Indonesian government has made effort to add Indonesia's Hajj quota. President Joko Widodo had met with Deputy Crown Prince Mohammed bin Salman bin Abdul Aziz Al Saud on September 4th at Dahua Bautik Hotel in Hansong at the G20 summit. Indonesia had also suggested for Saudi Arabia to provide additional Hajj quota for Indonesia. In response to the request, Prince Salman had instructed the Minister of Foreign Affairs of the Kingdom of Saudi Arabia to meet with Indonesian Foreign Minister Retno Marsudi to discuss the issue. The last item, September will be crucial for tax amnesty program. Ahead of the end of the first period of the tax amnesty program, which boasts the lowest retribution rate throughout the entire program, a member of the presidential expert team, Sofyan Wanandi, said top taxpayers will arrive with trillions of rupiah in retribution fees. The amount would help boost the retribution fee count, which has only reached 8.93 trillion rupiah so far, or 5.4% of the targeted 165 trillion rupiah. Sofyan, who is also the Indonesian Employers Association APINDO Advisory Council Chairman, said participation of top taxpayers will add 30 to 40 trillion rupiah to the total retribution fees. He is also optimistic that the targeted repatriated funds of 1,000 trillion rupiah will be achieved. Sofyan, however, is not quite sure in the achievement of retribution fee target. Sofyan's forecast, which sounds pessimistic, is still better than that of Bank Indonesia Governor Agus Martowardoyo's expectations of 18 trillion rupiah tax retribution until late 2016, with additional 3 trillion rupiah in 2017. To end the news, here are the headlines once again. The National Aeronautics and Special Administration NASA detects 140 fire spots in West Kalimantan. The National Military TNI strengthens cooperation with British military. Indonesian government aims to increase Hajj quota by 42,000. That was the news. Listener, coming up next, our commentary entitled Beware Zika Virus. Some time ago, some media in Indonesia reported an Indonesian citizen of Zika virus patient died in Malaysia. However, Indonesian Health Minister Nila F. Muluk stated that the patient infected by Zika virus in Malaysia who died was not caused by Zika virus, but she must have had complications with other diseases such as coronary heart disease, high blood pressure, chronic kidney disease, muscle pain, and rheumatism. She added that Zika is not a deadly disease. Zika is a disease that is spread through Aedes mosquito and has been detected in 67 countries. Brazil is the country most severely infected, with more than 1.5 million cases since April 2015. Patients infected with Zika will get mild symptoms such as fever and rash. Pregnant women are assumed to face the real danger, as this virus will lead to babies born to mothers with Zika most likely suffering from microcephaly or head and brain smaller than normal. Zika virus was firstly found in rhesus monkey in Zika jungle, Uganda, in 1947. The Zika virus was then rediscovered in Aedes africanus mosquito species in the same forest in 1948 and in humans in Nigeria in 1954. Zika virus becomes endemic and began to spread beyond Africa and Asia in 2007 in the South Pacific region. In May 2015, this virus was widespread in Brazil. The spread of this virus continues to occur in January 2016 in North America, South America, the Caribbean, Africa, and Samoa or Oceania. In Indonesia alone, Zika has been found in Jambi patient in 2015, while in Singapore, Zika infection firstly occurred in May 2016, imported by a 48-year-old man who previously traveled to Brazil. Although it is not a deadly disease, Zika virus should still be worried. Indonesian government's measures to anticipate the spread of Zika virus in Indonesia by doing some special surveillance at airport and port should be appreciated. In addition, since the beginning of September 2016, the Indonesian government has issued a travel advisory to Singapore after discovering 82 cases of Zika virus in the country. After all, prevention is better than cure. In addition to preventive measures taken by the government, the public also should further improve hygiene in their homes and the environment so Zika virus that is transmitted by the Aedes mosquito is not rapidly spread in the community. That was commentary.
Radio Republic of Indonesia's World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Voice of Indonesia.
Presenting actual news, all Indonesian songs, current issues, and entertainment. Broadcasting daily from the fourth floor of RRS Building on Jalan Medan Merdeka Barat number 4 and 5, Jakarta.
Listen live to www.voi.co.id.
Today in history. A compilation of several important events happened on this date in the past.
This is RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta, with Today in History, a regular segment which brings back people and events from this date in the past as recorded in history. Let's begin with 2007, the Declaration on the Rights of is adopted by the United Nations General Assembly. The United Nations Declaration on the Rights of Indigenous Peoples, or UNDRIP, was adopted by the United Nations General Assembly during the 61st session at the UN headquarters in New York City on September 13, 2007. While as a General Assembly declaration, it is not legally binding instrument under international law, according to the United Nations, it does represent the dynamic development of international legal norms and it reflects the commitment of the United Nations member states to move in certain direction. UNDRIP, which codifies indigenous historical grievances, contemporary challenges, and socio-economic, political, and cultural aspiration, is a culmination of generation-long efforts by indigenous organizations to get international attention, to secure recognition for their aspirations, and to generate support for their political agendas. Next, move to 1993. On September 13, 1993, at the White House, the United States, Israeli Prime Minister Yitzhak Rabin, and PLO Chairman Yasser Arafat shook hands after signing an accord granting limited Palestinian autonomy. The Oslo I Accord, or Oslo I, officially called the Declaration of Principles on Interim Self-Government Arrangements, or short Declaration of Principles, DOP, was an attempt in 1993 to set up a framework that would lead to the resolution of the ongoing Israeli-Palestinian conflict. It was the first face-to-face agreement between the government of Israel and the Palestine Liberation Organization, or PLO. Negotiations concerning the agreement, an outgrowth of the Madrid Conference of 1991, were conducted secretly in Oslo, Norway, hosted by the FAFO Institute, and completed on August 20, 1993. The Oslo Accords were subsequently officially signed at a public ceremony in Washington, D.C. on September 13, 1993, in the presence of PLO Chairman Yasser Arafat, the then Israeli Prime Minister Yitzhak Rabin, and U.S. President Bill Clinton. The documents themselves were signed by Mahmoud Abbas for the PLO, Foreign Minister Simon Peres for Israel, U.S. Secretary of State Warren Christopher for the United States, and Foreign Minister Andrei Kozyrev for Russia. The accord provided for the creation of a Palestinian interim self-government, the Palestinian National Authority, or PNA. The Palestinian Authority would have responsibility for the administration of the territory under its control. The accords also called for the withdrawal of the Israeli defense forces from parts of the Gaza Strip and West Bank. In the letters of mutual recognition, the PLO acknowledged the state of Israel and pledged to reject violence, and Israel recognized the PLO as the representative of the Palestinian people and as partner in negotiations. Yasser Arafat was allowed to return to the occupied Palestinian territories. In 1995, the Oslo I Accord was followed by Oslo II. Neither promised Palestinian statehood. Well, that was Today in History over Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. I'm Anna Trijayakasih.
Today in History, a compilation of several important events happened on this date in the past.
Focus, daily news and events.
This is RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia with Focus. Today's Focus theme is Indonesia-Philippine enhanced cooperation in various fields. Stay tuned in www.voi.co.id. During his first visit to Indonesia, the Philippine President Rodrigo Duterte had a meeting with Indonesian President Joko Widodo at the State Palace in Jakarta on September the 9th. The bilateral meeting of the two leaders achieved 3 agreements. President Joko Widodo, during a joint press conference at the Presidential Palace, said there are at least 3 things that have been agreed by both countries. The first is about 177 Indonesian citizens who was Hatsbil Grims, who were supposed to leave from Manila using Philippine passport. President Joko Widodo said he was grateful that as many as 168 people among them who was arrested by Philippine authorities have been released and returned to Indonesia. Second, is still associated with the Hajj pilgrimage. He also thanked Rodrigo Duterte for willing to help 700 Indonesian citizens who currently perform the pilgrimage with Philippine passports. Based on the agreement, 700 Indonesian citizens will land in Manila first after the Hajj. The third is on the issue of security, especially for Indonesian citizens who will cross the Sulu waters in the Philippines. Both countries agreed to increase security and conduct joint patrols while trying to free 9 Indonesian citizens taken hostage by Abu Sayyaf. President Joko Widodo said President Duterte agreed to increase security in the waters of Sulu, which is often crossed by vessels to send coal from Indonesia to Philippines. According to President Joko Widodo, increased security patrols will also be realized through joint patrols. This has long been agreed through a trilateral agreement between Indonesia, the Philippines, and Malaysia in Yogyakarta a few months ago, as well as in the Bali meeting concerning countermeasures against terrorism. President Joko Widodo expects in the future there will be no more security problems in the Sulu waters. Philippine President Rodrigo Duterte added, the two countries also agreed to cooperate in combating terrorism and extremism. The spread and abuse of illicit drugs were also discussed in the meeting. According to President Duterte, he was happy to visit Indonesia and hopes soon there is a reciprocal visit of President Joko Widodo. Duterte explained, besides talking about drugs, terrorism, and extremism, the two countries will also conduct cooperation in maritime and law enforcement. That was Focus today on Indonesia-Philippine enhanced cooperation in various fields. I'm Anna Trijaya Kasih, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Informing, connecting, dignifying.
RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta presents actual news and information as well as entertainment.
You're still with us, RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia on frequencies of 15150 kHz, 9525 kHz, and 11785 kHz for English program. You can also listen to our broadcast on internet at en.voi.co.id.
Listener, welcome to News in Brief. NASA's Moderate Resolution Imaging Spectroradiometer, or MODI satellite, on the Terra and Aqua spacecraft on Monday, September 12, detected 140 hotspots for land and forest fires in West Kalimantan. The National Disaster Management Agency's Data Information and Public Relations Chief Sutopo Purwonugroho said that fire broke in the Sekado, Ketapang, Landak, and Sanggau regencies due to land clearing activities. The National Military TNI continues cooperation with British military in various fields. The latest cooperation is realized through bilateral meeting between the General Staff Head of the National Military, Vice Admiral Didit Herdiawan, with Admiral Sir Philip Jones, KCBADC, First Sea Lord and Chief of Naval Staff, United Kingdom. The Indonesian government has been granted permission by Philippines President Rodrigo Duterte to execute Filipino death row inmate Mary Jane Veloso. Indonesian President Joko Widodo said that legal process would be followed up by Attorney General M. Prasetyo. He has explained to President Duterte about Mary Jane's situation and told him the delay in the execution during the meeting. Indonesian President Joko Widodo ordered National Police Chief General Tito Karnavian to crack down to those who perform extortion in port. In addition, the head of state also targeted dwelling time is in the range of two-day figures. A total of 1,800 Indonesian citizens in Malaysia took part in Idul Adha, or Islamic Sacrifice Day prayer, 1437 Hijriah in the Indonesian Embassy in Kuala Lumpur at 8 a.m. on Monday, September 12. The Indonesian government is aiming to increase its Hajj quota by 42,000 next year. The construction of Masjid al-Haram has reduced each country's Hajj quota by 20% in past few years. For instance, Indonesia's Hajj quota has been lowered from 211,000 to 168,000 pilgrims. September will be crucial for tax amnesty program. Ahead of the end of the first period of tax amnesty program, which boasts the lowest retribution rate throughout the entire program, a member of the presidential expert team, Sofyan Wanandi, said top taxpayers will arrive with trillions of rupiah in retribution fees. Listener, that was news in brief.
You're still tuned to the Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. We'll continue our next program with Indonesian Wonder and Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia.
Let's listen to various information of Indonesian arts and culture in a daily segment of Indonesian Wonder.
Listener, welcome back to the regular Indonesian Wonder. Today we are going to invite you to travel to Southeast Sulawesi. Stay tuned. Listener, Central Buton Regency is one of new autonomous regencies in South Sulawesi. It has a number of economic potentials such as in the agriculture and plantation sectors, fishing, mining and tourism sector. From the tourism sector, the Central Buton Regency has many tourism attractions known by tourists such as Katembe Beach, Mutiara Beach, Marlboro Beach, as well as Mabo Cave, Gumanano Cave, and Loba-Loba Cave. Among a number of the tourism objects, Mutiara Beach in Gumanano Village, Mawasangka Regency now is developed to be one of leading tourism places in Central Buton. Listener, Gumanano is a village in Mawasangka sub-district. The village is located 84 kilometers from Wamengkuli Port. Heading into Mutiara Beach, you have to pass through the Gumanano village. The village is quite isolated, so that your journey to this village is a little bit difficult. The journey to this village can be started from Labungkari City Center, the capital of Central Buton Regency. Central Buton Regency can be accessed from Bau-Bau City by ferry. The city can be accessed by plane from Jakarta to Kendari in 3 hours and then go to Bau-Bau by jet fuel or speedboat for 5 hours. Listener, once arriving in Mutiara Beach, you will amaze with the beauty of the beach. Imagine the white and soft sand streets along the beach. Mutiara Beach will be more beautiful if the water is receding because the white sand will be more spacious look. It is adding with the blue and clear sea water. No wonder if the beach becomes a belle of Central Bhutan tourism. The tourists who come to the beach usually immortalize the beauty of the site with their camera. They don't forget to enjoy the clear sea water by swimming. Listener, besides swimming, for those who like fishing can explore their hobby on the beach. In Mutiara Beach, there are many kinds of fish. After traveling to Mutiara Beach, you have to enjoy other tourism attractions in Gumanano Village. In this village, there is an inheritance fort of Bhutan Sultanate named Lhasa Yidewa Fort. The fort has 7 doors. You can also take a shower in Gumanano Bathing Place. The water is fresh but slightly brackish. But not only that, in this village there are so many springs such as Rada Oe, Oe Mawonti, and much more. For culinary, you can enjoy kuku, a kind of green shells. Listener, that was today's edition of Indonesia Wonder with a topic about Mutiara Beach. See you again with other interesting topic. Goodbye!
Speak Bahasa Indonesia easily and correctly. We present to you Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia.
Hello there, welcome to Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia, a lesson in Bahasa Indonesia or the Indonesian language on the radio. This program will teach you to speak Bahasa Indonesia by introducing Indonesian vocabulary and idioms and how to use them in a simple conversation. Today's topic is Upacara Hari Ulang Tahun RRI, or in English, RRI Anniversary. First, I'll introduce some vocabulary and also idiom related to the theme today. I will say the words twice, slowly, and you can repeat after me. Upacara, upacara, ceremony. Hari ulang tahun, anniversary. Terlambat, terlambat, too late. Bangun, bangun, to wake up. Besok pagi, tomorrow morning. Ke-71, the 71st. Berangkat, berangkat, to leave or depart. Jam 6 pagi, 6 a.m. Mulai, mulai, to start. Jam 7 pagi, 7 a.m. Memakai, to wear. Seragam, uniform. Lupa, to forget. Melihat, to see. Pengumuman, notice. Biru, blue. Penyulutan obor, torch lighting. Ditunggu, being waited. Makan bersama, have lunch together. Tamu, guest. Luar negeri, from abroad. Pemenang, the winner. Quiz internasional, international quiz. Baju tradisional, traditional dress. negara, country. Jemput, to pick up. Next is an example conversation on upacara hari ulang tahun RRI or RRI anniversary ceremony. As usual, I'll say every sentence slowly twice and you can repeat after me. The conversation is between Mary and Novi at the office. Novi, besok kamu jangan terlambat bangun. Novi, besok kamu jangan terlambat bangun. Novi, tomorrow you mustn't wake up late. Besok pagi kita harus menghadiri upacara hari ulang tahun RRI yang ke-71. Besok pagi kita harus menghadiri upacara hari ulang tahun RRI yang ke-71. In English, tomorrow morning we have to attend a ceremony on the 71st RRI anniversary. Ya, besok pagi kita harus berangkat jam 6 pagi. Ya, besok pagi kita harus berangkat jam 6 pagi. Yes, tomorrow we have to leave at 6 a.m. Karena upacara mulai jam 7 pagi. Because the ceremony starts at 7 a.m. Besok kita pakai seragam apa? Saya lupa. What kind of uniform we should wear tomorrow? I forgot. Besok kita harus memakai seragam biru. Tomorrow we must wear the blue uniform. Setelah upacara ada acara penyulutan obor. After the ceremony, there will be torch lighting. Ya, itu adalah acara yang selalu ditunggu-tunggu. Yes, it was an item that is always been waited for. Setelah itu, biasanya ada acara makan siang bersama. After that, usually there will be a lunch together. Upacara besok juga diikuti oleh tamu dari luar negeri. Tomorrow's ceremony will be also followed by guests from abroad. Mereka adalah pemenang kuis internasional. They are the winners of international quiz. Pada waktu upacara, mereka akan memakai baju tradisional negara masing-masing. During the ceremony, they will be wearing traditional dresses from their respective countries. Baiklah, besok pagi saya jemput kamu. Okay then, tomorrow morning I'll pick you up. Sampai jumpa besok, until we meet again tomorrow. That was Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia, a lesson in Bahasa Indonesia, which introduces Indonesian vocabularies and idioms and guides you to use them in a conversation. Until tomorrow with another topic. Sampai berjumpa lagi. Until we meet again.
Music Corner, presenting various kinds of Indonesian music and songs from the Voice of Indonesia.
Hello, listeners of RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia, wherever you are. Welcome back with me, Rani, in the regular music corner. For today's edition, we are going to give you the dangdut songs. Stay tuned.
Jangan pula kau katakan diri ini tak beriman.
listeners, you've just listened to the song by Mirnawati entitled Jeritan Hati. The song Jeritan Hati was released in 1987. The song that was composed by Maggie Zett tells about heart feeling of someone because her lover betrayed her. The music is really sad with the lyrics that is so heartbreaking. This mellow song had made Mirnawati become a popular dangdut singer in Indonesia. Since then, the songs with the same genre is identical to Mirna's characteristic. Mirna had a total interpretation in every performance. She is different to other dangdut singers since she tends to show her talent of singing with a total interpretation. Listeners, after the song Jeritan Hati, we are going to give you another song entitled Kelakuan by Mirnawati. Happy listening. Listeners, the song entitled Kelakuan is one of the songs in Mirna's second album. It is the leading song from this album and tells about a man who likes cheating and telling lies, which makes a woman sad. Like Mirna's previous songs, Kelakuan was composed by Yongki RM. It has a sadness or disappointment theme with mellow music and sad lyrics. Not much different from the previous song, the song Kelakuan also popular in Indonesia, which nicely dedicated by Mirnawati. A few years later, Mirna released some albums. One of those albums was Air Mata Pengantin in 1996 with a leading song entitled Air Mata Pengantin. In this album, Mirna kept consistent to carry a real dangdut, even though dangdut trends at that time were full of disco dangdut, pop dangdut, remix dangdut, and koplo dangdut. The song Air Mata Pengantin tells about sad story of a woman who betrayed by her lover in the day of their wedding. From the lyrics and music that is really sad, this song can make people tears. Well, let's listen to the last two songs entitled Air Mata Pengantin and Bukan Tak Mampu by Mirnawati. Well, listener, these two songs will conclude our segment for today. See you and sampai jumpa. Sakitnya
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia. RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Informing, connecting, dignifying.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta, presents actual news and information as well as entertainment.
You can listen to our broadcast every day on frequencies of 15150 kHz, 9525 kHz, and 11785 kHz for English program. Or listen to audio on demand at en.voi.co.id. Send your criticism and suggestions to en.voi.co.id or send your letter to Voice of Indonesia, RRI World Service, Jalan Medan Merdeka Barat, No. 4 and 5, Jakarta, or P.O. Box 1157, Jakarta 10011, Indonesia. And join us on Facebook, Voice of Indonesia, and Twitter, VoI Indonesia.